the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. Glad to be back again on this program to bring forth the word of the Lord to you. In the last 3 weeks, we've been bringing the message on repentance, and we intend to continue today as we trust the Lord to bless us with His word. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 1 to verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 1 to 4. It is reported commonly that there is a fornication amongst you, and such fornication as is not so much as name among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already as though our presence, concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when ye gather together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's verse 5. Like I said, we've been bringing this message on repentance to you. We've talked about repentance as God is demanding it from everyone according to Acts chapter 17. And I want to read Acts chapter 17 and just take a verse there. That has been our point of emphasis. Verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. God is commanding every man everywhere to repent. And we have broken this into about 3 or 4. We've said God is commanding sinners, wicked sinners, to repent. God is commanding those who are religious to repent. And we divided those who are religious into 2. Those who are religious, they fear God, they love God, but they have not yet touched repentance, like Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And we also talk about those who are religious and they go on in their wicked way, knowingly going on in their wicked ways, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that John the Baptist called this generation of vipers. And Jesus also called them the same name in Matthew 23. We've talked about that in the past 3 weeks. Today we are going to talk about repentance as is demanded in the house of God. Repentance as is demanded from Christians, born again Christians. It's also demanded from them that they repent. From this 1 Corinthians we have read, we find that in the church of Corinth, there was a sin, there was a fornication. Someone amongst them was sleeping with his father's wife. And Paul says such a fornication is not the one that is even being committed by the unbelievers, that one should sleep with his father's wife. And then the attitude of the Corinthian Christian is summed up in that verse 2. And it says, ye are puffed up, carrying your shoulders, not rather mourn. The word mourn there means to repent. To mourn is to repent. And you have not dealt with this person who has done this wicked thing. In verse 13 of that same 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we say, but them that without God churched, therefore put away from among yourself that wicked person. When this brother committed this wickedness, Paul says, this man is a wicked person. He ought to have repented. And the Christians around him in Corinth ought to have also repented along with him. But none of them repented. Of course, they thought that they were born again Christians. Maybe they thought the blood of Jesus had covered it. Maybe they claimed whatever they did, the blood has covered it. That is a lie. That's not true. That's not the word of God. If that is the word of God, Paul will not be saying that they ought to have mourned. Paul will not be saying that the brother who did that is a wicked person. Paul will not be saying to them that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Paul will not be talking about judgment. Paul will not be talking about the fact that they needed to have judged that wickedness in their midst. And that not judging that wickedness is like a corruption, a little leaven that will spread and will cover the whole church. And so this is the message we are bringing to you. And that's why I say to them, also still reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I say, therefore let us keep the feast. What feast? The feast of Passover, the feast of salvation, not with old leaven, old living, old life, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's what should be found amongst us, believers and Christians. That's what God is demanding from us. So we see here the same attitude. It's been an old attitude among Christians. It's not new that we have many people today, congregations today, people today, preachers today, who speak lightly about sin, who do not speak about repentance and preach repentance on our pulpits. And we believe that God is calling us back to this all-important message, this foundational truth among the Christians, among the believers, to go back to this message of salvation, this message of repentance, where sin has been committed, where sin has been shown up, where sin has been discovered, where sin has been committed. Repentance is demanded. Repentance must come forth. And such repentance must be genuine, must be the one that has touched the issues that the sin, all the sins, have brought up. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Because of the way that Paul dealt with this matter, repentance was evident. As we read again from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and I want to read from verse 9. He says, now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And because of this repentance, he says in verse 11, for behold, this same thing, this repentance, that ye sorrow after a godly sort, what carefulness he wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourself, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things, ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. So we see what repentance produced in them. It produced godly fear. It produced zeal in them. It produced their fear of God. Because why? Godly sorrow worketh repentance. That's in verse 10. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. And I want to say this, that when there's a sin amongst believer in the life of a believer, and there's a genuine repentance, godly sorrow, salvation follows, deliverance follow. I said to people that if we repent genuinely about a particular sin, we are delivered from that sin. When a person keeps repeating a particular sin, he has not given God genuine repentance. He may have wept, he may have shown emotion, he may have been remorseful about what he did. And many people are remorseful because they are caught, because they are exposed. Many people are remorseful because they are rebuked, not because they are genuinely sorrowful about the sin they have committed. And the scripture is saying, when there is no godly sorrow, there can be no salvation. Because godly sorrow worketh repentance. It's a process to salvation. And it says, godly sorrow is not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. What is the sorrow of the world? The sorrow of the world is to regret, to be superficial about your repentance. Godly sorrow is just to walk over the sin without truly, truly, truly repenting. And that's why many people are giving God a worldly sorrow. They cry, but there's no genuine repentance. They are ashamed of what they have done, but they do not turn from what they have done. So this is the message we are bringing to you. Genuine repentance is being demanded from Christians. I also want to read for you again another incident in the days of the apostle, Acts chapter 5 from verse 1 to verse 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, Why had Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thy own? After it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came up all them that had these things. We see here again another born-again believer in the days of apostles. When he sinned, he lied to the Lord, he lied to the Holy Ghost, and he was struck. I figured out that if he had not died immediately, Peter would have completed the message by demanding from him that he should repent from this wickedness. Repentance, when a believer has lied, when a believer has spoken things that are not true. And here we know that when we lie, we are not doing it against man, we are doing it against God. One of the sins I believe that is so rampant among Christians today is sin of lying. And we call it all kinds of names, but lie is a lie. And we have to be warned that the scripture says those who lie shall end up in the lake of fire, except they were emphasizing repentance in the church. Repentance among born-again Christians, that we need to repent. You also see that repentance is evident even in the Old Testament amongst those who serve God. And I want to show two examples. But before I go on, I want you to read with me Psalm 51. Listeners, we are talking about repentance. We are talking about turning to God. And then here in Psalm 51, which was the psalm of David when he sinned against God, and he set an example for us how we must return to God. That's why God said that David was a man after his heart. Not that David did not sin, not that David did not commit evil or wickedness, but he turned to God with all his heart. I have read the life of David, and this is one thing I've discovered. Any sin that David repented of, you will never find him going back to them again. When he repented of anything, he repented genuinely and totally and fully. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man of repentance. And then he says this in Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. What does this mean? Many of us, we are seeking what sacrifice can we give to God. And David is saying one of the greatest sacrifices you can give to God is repentance. To be a broken and a contrite heart. A person who is broken, a person who does not take sin lightly, a person when is confronted with his sin, the consequences, the impact of sin upon his life and other people, he will tremble. The Bible said, this man will I look unto, a man that trembles at my word. This is what David is teaching us here, that when we are confronted with our sin and wickedness, we should offer God the sacrifice that God we not reject, to give him genuine and total repentance. Please, I also want to show you another example of this kind of repentance from a believer, the book of Ezra chapter 9. And I want to show you another repentance that is very, very important for us to see. Ezra chapter 9 from verse 3, he says, and when I heard this thing, that's Ezra speaking there, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. Verse 5, and at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. What did he say in verse 6? And I said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee. My God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up into the heavens. This is genuine repentance. This is true leadership, true godly leadership that Ezra was called a scribe. And he said, when I heard this, what did he hear? The mingling between the people of God and the people of the world, and what the leaders have done, what the rulers have done in the assembly. He said, when I heard this, what did I do? I rent my garment and my mantle, and I plucked off the hair of my head and my beard, and I sat down astonished. In other words, this man forgot his position as a leader. When sin comes in, your position is not important. when sin comes in, your anointing is not important. Your garment, your dressing, your greed, your prestige, your honor is not important. When sin comes in, for a true godly leadership, what will he will show? Example. He will humble himself. He will come down from his throne. He will do what this man of God did. He will not necessarily rend your clothes, but your heart. Because that's what we are told in the book of Jude. We should not rend our clothes now, but we can do it if we have to do it. But it's talking about rending our hearts today to demonstrate repentance that will fear God. That is a broken and a contrite heart that God will not despise. That is the repentance. Repentance, please, listener, is not just mouthing words. It has to involve every part of us. It has to involve our emotion, our mind, our will, everything. We have to demonstrate our fear of God when sin is in the assembly. Leadership that is going to lead God's people in this last day. This is what God is asking for. In this passage we are reading, he said, in the evening time, we're in the evening time of God, prophetically. And God is demanding those who will lead people of God in this last day. Because the scripture says somewhere in the book of Zechariah, it said, in the evening time there shall be light. One of the lights that God will give to us in this life is the light to return to God in genuine repentance. This is what Ezra is demonstrating here. To go to God, to say, God, I am ashamed, I blush. Yeah, I'm in heaviness. Our sin has come upon us. You see, when you see a godly man, he will repent over a little sin as if he's repenting over a great sin. That's the mark of a godly man. That's the mark of a man who trembles at his word. A godly man doesn't treat sin lightly, doesn't overlook sin, doesn't excuse sin, doesn't drop it in and say it doesn't matter. He says, this is important. This is important. And so this is what we are saying, that we are believing God, that in this last day, God will grant us leaders. God will grant us believers who have such a heart to repent, like David, like Ezra, who will not excuse sin. Men like Paul, who insists that when there's sin in the assembly, in the life of a believer, they should repent. Who will cause sin, sin. Who will cause sin, wickedness. And a man who is continuing sin without repenting and call it wicked person. A man who will say, if we continue sin, it's a corruption that will spread and it will smear and everybody. This repentance. God is commanding every man everywhere to repent. We have been bringing that scripture to you. Say, let the wicked man forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return to the Lord, for the Lord will pardon. This is the day to return to the Lord in repentance. A turning, repent and be converted. This is it. Fruits of repentance is being demanded. Show for fruits of repentance. You don't repent and there's no fruit. You don't lie to somebody and you say you repent, and another occasion when God gives you opportunity to say the truth, you lied again. You are not showing fruits of repentance by such a living, by such a lifestyle. No, repentance has become a religion, has become something you use as crutches. No, God is saying when we repent, there must be true fruits of repentance. And I also want to show you that even the Lord himself, our Lord, his last messages to the church is the message of repentance. His last messages to the church is the message of repentance. And I want to show you from the book of Revelation. Please turn with me to the book of Revelation as we go to Revelation to see what even our Lord has to say to his church about issue of repentance. And we'll start from Revelation chapter 2, talking to the church of Ephesus. Jesus there was talking to the church of Ephesus, and I want to read that to our hearing. Revelation chapter 2 verse 5 says to the church of Ephesus here, say, remember therefore from where thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. We see the Lord here preaching repentance to his church. And he's threatening them that if they do not repent, he will take away the candlestick. He will take away his light. He will take away his presence. And how many churches, how many assemblies together are in darkness because they have refused to repent, because they have refused to return. You see, Jesus commended this church. He said, I know your works and your labor and your patience, and thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they apostles are not, and hast found them liars. And you have borne, verse 3, has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, how many of us will be commended this way? How many assemblies and congregation will be commended this way? And yet, the Lord, who sees everything, will still say, but you need to repent. How many will give him repentance? And yet we have read that, the sacrifice that God is looking for is a sacrifice for a broken and a contrite heart. a sacrifice of repentance. And we go to our assembly, we praise God, we sing song, but yet God is saying, there's something I demand more, repentance. That's to the church of Ephesus. And then the next one you will see is the church of Pergamos. And that is also in Revelation 2, verse 16. It says there, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them which with the sword of my mouth. That's to the church of Pergamos. And writing to these seven churches, there's only two churches that did not get the message of repentance. That is the church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia. The rest five, they heard the Lord, the demand of the Lord saying, repent, repent, repent. We have just read the one for Pergamos. And yet each time the Lord asks them to repent, he will say, if you do not repent, because there's always that tendency in a man not to repent. There's always that tendency in Christians not to repent. There's always that tendency in Christians to feel that we're okay, we're all right, we're doing well. And I know there are many, many people today who don't want to hear such message of repentance. They want to hear prosperity. They want to hear God will bless you even when you sin, when you have not repented. You can go on. That's not true. That's not the true gospel. And I don't think preachers who are preaching that, they are serving the Lord. And I'm not sure whether they are better than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is preaching repentance. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 21 and 22 to Thyatira church. And I want to read that again, what the Lord has to say to this church. Verse 21 and 22 say, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and then that commits adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Here again, the Lord is demanding from this church, Thyatira, to repent. I gave her space to repent. God will always give us space, time, to repent. But yet this church did not repent. And the Lord is saying here, if you do not repent, you continue, I will cast you into a bed of great tribulation. Some people are wondering whether they will go through tribulation or not. This scripture says you will go through great tribulation if you continue in your sin. Settle that in your heart. If Christians continue in sin and they will not repent, the Lord says they will go through great tribulation. Except they repent of their deeds. 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 So we see the Lord here demanding repentance. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3, to the church of Sardis. I remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Here again, the Lord is demanding repentance from the church of Sardis to return to a place of hearing. A place of receiving. And if you will not go back to a place of hearing and receiving and hearing from me, and you will not continue your own program and activities without hearing me, without receiving from me, I will also come unto thee as a thief, and that thing that I've given to you, I will take it away. How many churches are going today without hearing from God? Doing their own programs, their own thing, their own religious things, and they are not hearing from God. When last did you hear from the Lord, O man of God? When last did God tell you to do what you are doing? Who told you to do what you are doing? And you are going on. Today the Lord says, if you continue and you do not return to a place of hearing and receiving, he's coming, and he will take away that which he has given to you. How many people got what God gave them? The virtue, the anointing, the grace God has given to them has been taken away from them without them knowing, because the Lord came like a thief in the night and took it away because they refused to repent. I ask that today you will repent, because the time of repentance is still here. God is saying and commanding every man everywhere to repent. Finally, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, the Laodicea church, this is what the Lord has to say. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. So you see here, the Lord say, repent, repent. I love you, that's why I'm rebuking you. I love you, that's why I'm speaking to you. Yea, be zealous therefore and repent. Repent and turn to me. Repentance is necessary. It's being demanded, whether you are a religious sinner, whether you are a wicked sinner, whether you are an open sinner, whether you are a man who fears God and you have not yet touched him. The message we are bringing is that repentance is what God is demanding from us. Repentance is the garment of light. Repentance is necessary to open up God's blessing, God's grace, God's mercy. Repentance is necessary to bring revival into our lives. Repentance is necessary to bring salvation, deliverance. Many people are held in captivity and and sin and demonic affliction because they have not repented of their sins. Yeah, but they are being held. They are being gripped by the power of Satan. Yea, if there will be repentance, the Bible said there will be a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That's the reason why I'm bringing this message, that there will be a time of refreshing in your home, in your life. There will be a revival. There will be a turning. There will be a healing. There will be a restoration in your life as a result of repentance. And I want to give you just a few seconds that you may offer God repentance. I want to pray for you. As many as I've heard and are still hearing this message and you are repenting, I'm praying that the Lord will visit you, that the power of God will break the yoke that is holding you, that your eyes will be opened, that the veil will be taken away, that the covering cast of the enemy will be taken away from your life, that there will be a visitation from heaven, that your heavens shall be opened in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord will visit you in revival, the Lord will visit you in restore, because you are offering him the sacrifice that God demands, that is repentance. I pray that the Lord will grant you repentance. As many of you have heard this message, that you will not be the same in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-389-0315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585-0706-389-0315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. I take it again, endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.